of the Spirit of Wisdom. So tonight, our second half of the message is on how we can have the Spirit of Wisdom. Just in summary of last week, we looked at our own earthly wisdom being insufficient. We looked at various people in the Tanakh that had a special spirit of wisdom given to them. We're going to look at one more tonight. We looked at Daniel and Ezra, Joseph, others. We looked at the question, can we have the spirit of wisdom? And we saw from Colossians that it is indeed God's desire for us to have that. And then where do we get the spirit of the Lord from? It comes from God himself. And that wisdom in Yeshua is the fullness of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures are in him. And then why we need the spirit of wisdom. We looked at that. And so tonight we want to answer the question, how do we become filled with God's wisdom? This is what we want. If God desires it for us, then we want what he wants for us, and that is to be filled with his wisdom. Let's recap this verse, chapter 11 of Isaiah, verse number 1 and 2. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Let us pray once more. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray now that you would, through your Spirit, open our eyes to understand it. It is inspired of your Spirit, and it is only your Spirit that reveals it to the hearts of men, Jew and Gentile, young and old, male and female. And it's those that ask for that understanding that you give it to. And we pray for that very thing tonight. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. How do we become filled with the Spirit of God's wisdom? We're going to look at four basic ways. Number one would be to have a heart for him. It's easy to have a heart for many things in this world, and many things pull on our heart. And Paul, he got one thing that pulled on his heart was his wife. We know that he was married, as all religious leaders would be in that day, but he was loosed from his wife through death, and he prayed that if he wanted to be in ministry, not to seek a wife. That is, if your spouse died, don't seek another one, because you want to give yourself fully to the ministry. And what a worthy goal. And so the love of our heart can pull on us, and we can become divided necessarily. But you know, after a man and woman gets married, God often calls people into ministry. And so the Lord knows what he's doing, and if he calls you and when you're married, you also get to have the children. And so it's a done deal that you're going to have to incorporate family into ministry. But if you're single, you might want to just pray that prayer, Lord, I'm willing to give all for thee. And there are many missionaries on mission fields around the world that have been so devoted that they just waited on God and are still single, but yoked up and married to God and serving him faithfully. But many things can pull on our heart this day. We could not get to the end of the list tonight of the things that pull on us in different directions than serving God fully. But you know, we can all serve him wherever we are. It doesn't matter what job you have. Or if you're in a nursing home in a wheelchair, you have a ministry. And that, as long as people are around you, you have a ministry. And if you want God's wisdom, you have to have a heart for him. In Exodus 28, verse number 3, God says to Moses, thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted. We're talking about having a heart for God. Whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. The people needed the wisdom of God. They needed to be filled with the spirit of his wisdom just to simply make the garments for the priest. Not just the high priest, but that included the whole priesthood. And we often think, well, we can handle something in life. Oh, I can do that. I don't need special help from anyone. I have the ability to do this. It's not in our ability, but in God's enabling. We find something slightly more simple than weaving the fine garments for a high priest in Exodus 35, verse 26. God says, "And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair." Now, I've been to Israel only 3 times, but my very first trip there, we stopped the tour bus, we got out and we got to see in the Judean wilderness some Bedouins, and they had some tents set up, and we got to go firsthand and look at a goat's hair tent. And it doesn't look like it takes a genius to weave goat's hair. So why would God say that these women had stirred, that their hearts were stirred up in wisdom to weave goat's hair? Well, God's just telling us we need Him. We need His wisdom for everything in life. We should never be dependent upon our own abilities. And that's an easy thing to do, to be overconfident, isn't it? But we need to realize that God will give us something extra. Maybe we won't know it. We won't see it. We won't understand it. But He's behind it all. And so it's the first order of business to stir up our hearts for a given task. My heart got stirred while I was in America. I was in a very interesting chapel in 1,500 acres of pristine woodland at the Cove, the Billy Graham Welcome Center. And inside this chapel, they had 2 beautiful banners. And ever since we had our first night service here, or when I first saw this building, I thought about this little empty space behind us. And I just thought about a focal point that we need. And if you are familiar with Messianic fellowships, Messianic gatherings, is that they tend to rally under a banner. And there's many, many scriptures in the Bible dealing with banners, not just the banners of armies, but the banners that praise and magnify God. And my heart's been stirred up to for us to have a banner that we would hang as the centerpiece in our backdrop. And I came up with my own design, and you can come up with your own. And you've got a few weeks to do this. We don't want to wait too long. But we'll take the various designs, the various slogans on it that we could have, a piece of scripture or a various name of the Messiah, whatever the Lord stirs up your heart with, and maybe we'll, in wisdom, in the Spirit of the Lord, get together and pick one, and we'll make it. That's something I think would really praise the Lord, but we would need to stir our hearts up in wisdom to do this. Very interestingly, Exodus 36 verse 1, we have some wisdom given to a man to make the many things of various levels, stones and metals and cuttings. It says, "Then wrought Bezalel," or Bezalel, which means in the shadow of God. "Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded." All manner of work. So we see whether it's the priest's garments, the priesthood, or weaving goat's hairs, because actually one of the 5 layers that went over the tabernacle, the holy place, there were 5 layers. One of these was fine linen, but one of them was goat's hair. So there was actually a layer of goat's hair fabric over the temple of Yahweh, over that most holy place. So no matter what it is, what we're involved with in serving the Lord, we need His wisdom in it. And then Psalm 90, verse 12, Moses wrote, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." So God gives us this wisdom. We probably already have some of it. We're not totally lacking it. When God gives us His Spirit, He gives us all 7 of these attributes of His Spirit. But we need to, as we'll see in a moment, we need to pray for additional wisdom, or moreover, like Moses said, that we would apply our hearts to it. Is that we need to recognize the giftings God's given. We need, it's been prayed over tonight, that we recognize God's Spirit among us, that we recognize His presence, and we need to recognize the wisdom that He's given us and not be suffice to use our own wisdom in whatever we're attempting. The dangerous thing is to always assume that we've got it covered. Oh, I can handle this. And that's a dangerous place to be. And I've been in that place a few times, and God's let me fall. It's like you see a little kid, a young toddler learning to walk. They want to try it on their own, but then they find out they need that helping hand. They need a little something to hold on to balance them. And God will give us that, and His wisdom will balance us. It will be our staying power. It will be our stability. The stability of our times. I think we read that last week. If not, we'll come across it in a minute. The Spirit of God's wisdom is the stability of our times. So, first of all, we need to have a heart for Him, and then secondly, we need to have His commandments at the top of our priorities, at the top of our list. Deuteronomy 4:6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. You look at Solomon, God gave him wisdom, such wisdom that people came to him. We know the Queen of Sheba actually came and brought him hard questions. She must have gotten the best of questions and riddles that could be found in her country and brought them to him, put them before him, and he had answers for them all. He was given special and high wisdom. But he was not the only one. We could go over and over again the different giftings Israel's had through the ages of wisdom. Even today they carry a wisdom in war that just surpasses anyone, because if he didn't have that wisdom, they probably wouldn't be around collectively. They would be scattered again. God has given wisdom in the field of science and medicine, and the list goes on. But God will give all His covenant people wisdom for simply asking, and that is our next point. But right now we're looking at having His commandments on our priority list, because if we're not doing His Word, He's not going to give us wisdom in everyday and ordinary circumstances, if we're not putting His Word as a high priority. And therefore, daily we need to make it a high priority simply to read it. If we're going to know them and do them, we first have to read them. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua just simply pointed them to the commandments of Moses. And this spirit of wisdom was on Joshua that had been laid upon Moses. In fact, it was Moses that laid his hands on Joshua, and that's how he received this wisdom. And in his wisdom, Joshua spoke unto the people and said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Following God's commandments is simply deciding who you're going to serve. Are we going to serve my interests first? Are we going to serve my employer's interests first? Or am I going to put God's priorities, His commandments, above all others? So they need to have a top shelf priority. But don't put them so high on the top shelf you cannot reach them. Don't do that. Put them where you can reach them. That's why we commit Scripture to memory, so that we can have that wisdom of God in any particular situation and know what to do. When Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve, he said, Joshua 24, verse 15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is, we will follow His commandments. And so we need to rally. We need to, whether in a family or in a workplace or whoever, among your friends when you get together, you know, we need to reunify. We need to collectively, you know, say, look, we need to do this together. And there's strength in numbers. And if you're in a workplace, you can find one Christian or two or three believers, and you can pray for that place. And we have three mothers in this school who have children here And they're praying. They're praying for the CRE Ministries. They're praying for this church, this New Covenant Assembly, because it has a prayer cover over the whole school. But there's people that will band together everywhere and make a difference through following God's commandments and becoming a team in it together. So individually, we follow God's commandments and make it a priority. Then collectively, we can do that as well. So we need to have a heart for God. And then we need to make His commandments our top priority. And then thirdly, we need to have a prayerful attitude about the matter. God, the God of Israel, appeared to Solomon and said, "Ask me what you want, and I'll give it to you." And I think God said that to him because he knew the answer he was going to get. Solomon prayed to receive wisdom instead of riches, because you would think that would be the first thing to ask for. Every king sought riches in various ways, from levying taxes among his own people, tariffs for trade that came through his land, and the spoils of war, and the list went on. Solomon asked for wisdom. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, beginning at verse 10, Solomon said, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great?" And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee." He asked the right prayer, and he got the right answer. And the last song we sang before we sat to read, to have the word now, was "Seek ye first the kingdom." And if we'll just do that, seek His kingdom with our heart, seek His kingdom by following His commandments, seek His kingdom through prayer, if we seek that first, everything else will fall in place. But if we try to put it in place ourselves and do things, carry out our own agenda, our own way, then we'll find ourselves lacking in every matter. But if we do it God's way, and we ask for the wisdom to go through life for ourselves, our families, where we work, our future, our career, our ministry, whatever it is, if we're seeking Him first and His wisdom and how to accomplish it, He'll give us all the other things that will help us fulfill our heart's desire. If we'll seek His heart's desire first, then He'll fill our heart's desire. But along the way, He changes our heart's desire. See, if we start out with that me first syndrome, we're putting God on the lower shelf. But if we seek Him first, our heart begins to be changed, and then God fulfills that desire naturally for us. So God gave Solomon, and we read about others, this incredible wisdom. Joseph had wisdom to rule the house of Egypt. He was not your average student. He was not even an A-plus student. He was beyond that. He had the wisdom of God, and only the wisdom of God could have gotten that job done. So, but we, like these others, as needed, as necessary when the time comes, can have the necessary wisdom, whatever it is, as we ask for it, like Solomon did. We've got to ask for it. We cannot assume it. We should never assume anything. We should never presume upon the continued blessing of God, but thank Him for it, for His daily blessing, and asking for it to continue to flow. Never, ever should we take God for granted. No, never. Yaakov, in the New Covenant, said, chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." God's just waiting for us to ask Him for wisdom. What do I do next? And ask my wife. She knows I'm a very slow decision maker. And I just find myself insufficient so many times to make the right decision. I'm afraid to make the wrong decision. And I remember one instructor in Bible college told us, you know, we would be various kinds of leaders, whether Christian schools or whatever, we would be leaders in ministry. Some student had asked a loaded question, but he said, you know, sometimes rather than just do nothing, you've got to do something. Do something. But we can only do that something if we first pray, God, bless this mess. You know, whatever it is, God, I give it into your hands. That's what was prayed tonight in the opening prayers, that Lord, we give this hand into your, we give this service into your hands. You take it. You do what you want with it. Because that's all we are, really, is grade A mess ups. But God is a master craftsman at picking up broken pieces and making the most incredible mosaics out of it. That's his specialty. In fact, he only uses broken pieces. So as we admit our insufficiency, as we admit that we're not able to do it on our own, that's where he steps in. If we just invite him in on the deal. Lord, we need your presence. We need your wisdom. We need your help in accomplishing this. So we've looked at having a heart for him in order to get this wisdom of his, having his commandments on our top priority list, having a prayerful attitude, and then having a reverential fear for him. I've heard, and you've probably heard, people say, I don't fear the Lord. That's when you take several steps back away from that person. Because if they don't understand the fear of the Lord, then they're standing on dangerous ground, and if you're standing on their ground, you're standing on dangerous ground. Because it's people filled with God's love and wisdom and spirit who said that we need to fear the Lord. Solomon, I think he was the wisest man in the world. Is that right? Solomon, the wisest man in the world, said in his writings of Mishlei or Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Here we go again. We're studying about wisdom, and we have this other spirit, the seventh one, the fear of the Lord, and the spirit of knowledge. We have that in this verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I never dreamed I would see this when I started. I thought we were going to have to do a different message for each one of these seven characteristics. But when we came to wisdom, the second one, I immediately found out all these other ones are just linked to it, just like you have five fingers on a hand. They're all linked together. And we need to have a fear of the Lord. A healthy respect for the Lord. I saw a young child draw, I guess he was about last night in the mall, he drew his hand back, 2 years old, and swiped at his daddy, at his father. And I think he's never been taught not to do that, because a kid would only have to do that once. Maybe that was his first time. He looked very tired. It was a long day, and he probably just wanted to be home resting. But we need to have a child needs to have a healthy respect, a reverential awe and fear of a father. It needs to be the same way with God. And that is, you know, that we as believers filled with God's Spirit, God can take us out anytime He wants. When saints die, we often wonder, why did God take them? They were useful. They were doing so much for you. But we don't have to promise it tomorrow. And as the psalmist said, my times are in your hands. Is that, is part of the fear of the Lord, is that we are not God, He is. And our days are numbered, and we don't know how many we have left. So this fear is just talking about an incredible healthy respect. And children always do better when the parents regain that respect from time to time. And as you let it slip and slip away, you find out that you're no different than they are, and the kids call the shots. But so God does this for us. He reminds us along the way that we're not in control, and He lets us slip and fall, and He lets things happen, and He shows us that we need His strength. And then as we looked at these four ways to get the spirit of wisdom, we now turn to the effect of having God's wisdom. In James, or Yaakov, chapter 3, verse 17 of the New Covenant, we'll read a very, very interesting verse as we close out on this wonderful message and study on the Spirit of the Lord, the sevenfold Spirit of God. We read, "But the wisdom that is from above," there again it's telling us where it comes from. It does not come from here below. That means you can fill your head with every book in every library on the planet, but you won't get the wisdom that you really need. It comes from above. It comes from a higher library, one of ultimate wisdom. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." So we could see, as we look at this sevenfold Spirit of the Lord, and we come to the Spirit of Wisdom, and then we find out that the Spirit of Wisdom has these, once again, eight attributes in itself. We find out what this Spirit of Wisdom will do for us. It will help us to be a pure people, a peaceable people. Paul said to be peaceable, "As much as lies within thee, be at peace with all men." Because Yeshua is the Prince of Peace. He is the peacemaker. He said to love your enemies and do for them. Is that the way we bring the kingdom of heaven in and win lost souls is by making peace with them and being reconcilers. As God reconciled us to His Son, we reconcile ourselves to lost people and make peace with them. Making war is so easy. You can do it in a second. But making peace takes more effort. But we will be the pure people that we need to be, and the peaceable people, and the gentle people. We're not always gentle, but we are called to be gentle. Easy to be entreated. We need lost people to be. We need to be the first ones they come up to in a workplace. When times get tough, they know, oh, you can ask them anything, they'll help you. In the workplace I used to work with, there was me and about two other Christians and out of 30 people. And about once a month, someone would come to me and ask me, "Where is this in the Bible?" But they were wanting to go use it like an axe against their lost friend or something. I mean, this would be a lost person to a lost person, but they wanted me to give them the equipment in the Bible to go slay somebody. And I had to help them a little bit and kind of tell them to be gentle with this Word of God. That, yes, it's a hammer when it needs to be, but it's also gentle, life-giving water. We need to be pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy. The world is looking for mercy, but finding little. On the footy fields, you don't find mercy. On the soccer field, oh, they're just waiting to trip you and watch you fall, and then act like, what did they have to do with it? And that's the message the world is sending out. No mercy. Good fruits. We need to be a fruit-producing people without partiality. We need to love the lost like we love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. When we do that, we'll win them to the Lord. And then without hypocrisy. The writer of the New Testament said that we need to be blameless without. That is, that we behave among the saints, and that we're blameless among the lost when we're out there among them, that our lights might shine in the house of God as well as outside in the world, the very dark world. We are to be light shining in a dark world. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Let's stand and pray. And ask the Lord if He could not fill us, then if He would fill us with the Spirit of Wisdom, that we might be this kind of people. And Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Spirit, and we thank You that it has a sevenfold working. And we pray, Father, concerning the Spirit of Wisdom, we are lacking in all the wisdom we need for daily decisions in life and from moment to moment. We pray evermore, Lord, give us the spirit of wisdom that we might do all things pleasing unto you and be a pure people, a peaceable people, a gentle people, a people easy to be entreated, a people of mercy, a people producing good fruits, a people that are impartial to the lost world, and a people that are not two-faced, but are true in every sense of the word, inside and out, that we have one heart and one mind and one attitude, that is to live for you, that people may know who we are. Father, we thank you for this study and the sevenfold spirit of the Lord. And Father, we pray, Lord, we are plead the blood of Yeshua, your Son, to cleanse us from all sin, all unrighteousness, that we might be filled with all the wisdom of your Spirit to help us through our daily course of life. In Yeshua's wonderful name we pray. Amen.